Hey, everybody, fan of the Charlie Kirk Show. Be careful to awaken the third-party monster. Why something Donald Trump put on Truth Social could end up jeopardizing his growing support and consolidation of the center-right conservative movement. We talk about RFK vaccines and more, and also we reflect on the Oscars with Rabbi Michael Barclay. This is a great episode. Text it to your friends. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com and become a member today, members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. You just got to check it out right now, members.charliekirk.com. If you want to join our community, ask me questions directly. It is members.charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. Be careful about poking the third-party bear. What if I told you back in the 1992 election, when Bill Clinton became president against George Herbert Walker Bush, remember, an incumbent president at the time. It's very important to remember. People forget he was an incumbent president, served one term, that Bill Clinton only won 43% of the vote. George Herbert Walker Bush, being the incumbent president, only won 37% of the vote. So where did the other votes go? The other votes went to Ross Perot. Ross Perot had a very populist, nationalist movement. You could say Ross Perot was MAGA before MAGA. He was about strong borders. You hear that sucking sound? That is your jobs leaving to Mexico. Ross Perot was America first before Donald Trump. Ross Perot won 18.9% of the vote. He failed to win a single state. He failed to win any electoral votes, but he won 19.7 million votes. People would say that he spoiled the 1992 election and handed it to Bill Clinton. The 2024 election is shaping up to have multiple candidates, Cornel West, Jill Stein, two candidates that have already run against each other, and Americans have a lot of their opinions made up. It's going to be a race of who can get to that 42, 43, 44% figure, especially in states like Georgia, Wisconsin, and Arizona. We have been covering the third-party element of this race rather extensively. The mainstream media has been ignoring this topic. They just act as if it's Trump v. Biden, and it's not. It's Trump v. Biden v. RFK v. Stein v. Cornel West. They're underplaying the third-party threat. RFK is getting on the ballot in many different states. Now, 6 months ago, we said that RFK was hurting Trump more than Biden. That has recently changed. He is now hurting Biden far more than Trump. At least that's how it stands today. There's been a lot said in the last couple of days of how do we win over suburban women? The Katie Britt attempt at her State of the Union response was well-intentioned. The intention was, of course, how do we win over suburban women who might be center-right in their policy beliefs, center-right in their philosophical disposition, but they keep on voting for Democrats. So they decided, hey, let's go put Katie Britt in a kitchen and have her act as if she's a C-level replacement actress for a Netflix special. And it's amazing. If you look at Katie Britt, actually how she talks and how Katie Britt spoke on camera, it was a mockery. And in fact, SNL made a mockery of the entire deal. Moms worry about crime. They worry about wokeness. They worry about the health of their community. But most importantly, and this has come post-COVID, and Katie Britt didn't mention this at all, because the people that crafted Katie Britt's speech are former RNC operatives. She is a Mitch McConnell ally. I have nothing personally against her. Very sweet person, sweet mom. I hope that she continues to have a big platform because we need to win over moms. But she missed one of the biggest issues, an issue that the major food companies in this country know, which is that suburban moms are more concerned than ever about environmental toxins, about the food they're feeding their kids, and they're also asking questions about vaccines. During the State of the Union address, Donald Trump was live truthing, which is the new Twitter competitor. It's doing very well. We spend a lot of time on truth. Joe Biden effectively took credit for the mRNA gene-altering shot described as a COVID vaccine. Donald Trump was angry about Joe Biden's take on this. Donald Trump put on Truth Social, quote, "The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to beat cancer, turning setback into comeback." Donald Trump responds into all caps, "You're welcome, Joe. 9-month approval time versus 12 years that it would have taken for you." Donald Trump effectively taking credit for the mRNA shot called the COVID vaccine. Over the weekend, my phone was lighting up. I probably received 30, 40, 50 text messages, mostly from women, from moms that say, "Charlie, I know you're super pro-Trump. What am I supposed to make of this? I cannot vote for a candidate that promotes the vaccine. I cannot vote for a candidate that thinks that this shot is a good thing for the country." And of course, RFK is now taking advantage of this. Going back to how we started, the 1992 election was decided by who was able to get to 43%. RFK is going to try to take both from Donald Trump and from Joe Biden. He's going to try to take from both equally. This effectively is poking the RFK bear. Now, again, the Katie Britt RNC approach is we're just going to fake act into the camera. Can you believe how terrible Joe Biden is? Where there is this massive issue, and don't take my word for it, talk to Alex Clark, who works for us at Turning Point USA and has one of the most popular female podcasts and programs out there. Talk to Isabel Brown. Talk to the leading female influencers. Talk to Ali B. Stuckey. The issues that moms are talking about are, why does my kid have autism all of a sudden? Do we have to keep on feeding my child high fructose corn syrup? Why is my child's speech delayed? Do we really need this vaccine schedule? And RFK is building a coalition of center-right moms that the Trump campaign needs to do a better job of communicating to. And Donald Trump taking credit for the vaccine, if RFK wasn't in the race, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. But you have to understand that there are millions of voters that look at the vaccine issue as a highly personal issue, that they will not vote for a candidate. They will not support a candidate. And you might say, oh, they're going to vote for us anyway. That is the typical response. And with RFK on the ballot, you cannot dismiss this coalition. You cannot dismiss these voters. Vaccine booster rates have gone to 10 to 15% of the population. So anywhere between 85 to 90% of the country are not, they're not buying what the kind of vaccine shills of Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson are selling. Now, to President Trump's credit, he had great instincts about hydroxychloroquine, great instincts about the lockdowns. The vaccine happens to be right in RFK's wheelhouse. Now, I talked to some campaign operatives over the weekend, and they said, "Charlie, I don't understand. What do you mean environmental toxins and nutrition?" I said, "Boy, you are so out of touch with what the voters you're trying to win over are talking about. There is a reason why when you go and buy food at Whole Foods or, you know, just a higher quality grocery store, the amount of disclaimers that dairy-free, gluten-free, paraben-free, it's because consumers are actively asking questions of the food that they're giving their kids. We're going to keep on exploring this, but if we understand that the 1992 presidential election was precedent, we're going to have whoever wins the presidency, is likely only going to hit 40 to 43%. So you need to build the biggest coalition you can. And some of these states like Arizona has a lot of moms that fit in this mold and fit in this form that are not enthusiastic about the pharmaceutical industrial complex and what they're selling. They're not supportive of the poisoning of our children. RFK seems to be a good alternative. And 15 to 18% of polling shows that RFK is hovering right around there. So my advice to President Trump privately and publicly is trust your original instincts when it comes to COVID. And be very cautious taking credit and bragging and celebrating the vaccine. And I'm going to tell you one of my big fears. The fear is, what if RFK gets on the debate stage and Joe Biden baits President Trump on the vaccine issue right before the election? As we've all seen over the past few years, the amount of heavy metals, microplastics, and other toxins we are all exposed to has only increased. These are important world issues we must continue to discuss, and since you know that I take my health seriously, I only stand by the best. One company that is aware of these global challenges and that I proudly support is Ascent Nutrition, which has unique health products meant for these times. One I've been using is their pine pollen tincture, which contains 200 nutrients and important components like glutathione and DHEA. Glutathione is known for healthy detoxification and immune support, while DHEA is known as the happiness hormone and supports mood and brain health. Pine pollen is also nature's highest source of special phytohormones, which support hormone function, libido, and adrenal health. I love it because you could truly feel the benefits, and since I am now telling everyone about it, they expect to sell out fast. Before they sell out, click the link in the description below and use the code Kirk to save 10% on your pine pollen tincture and all other products. Here is from a swing voter in Arizona, who I know through some faith stuff. By the way, very conservative person. Charlie, I'm hoping you can call President Trump to get this whole COVID vaccine nonsense fixed quickly. His post on Truth Social is very ignorant regarding how the vaccines are helping to fight cancer. More like causing cancer. He is so solid and I want to vote for him, but this is a huge blind spot, just my two cents. Let's play. And I'm not saying I agree with that. I'm just trying to say right now, if we do not take this issue carefully, you are poking the third party bear. You are awakening the third party monster. Right now, Joe Biden is the one that is getting most damaged by RFK. Joe Biden is loving if RFK could take equally from both sides. Would love that. And I say this as an enthusiastic, stalwart, dedicated, loyal, and continued loyal supporter of President Trump, because we have to win. And all of a sudden, we're talking about 5,000 votes here, 10,000 votes here, 15,000 votes here. Now, I'm going to play a piece of tape here. It's cut 11. It is RFK that's talking about, you want to talk about kitchen table issues? Kitchen table issues is not Katie Britt fake acting, where she doesn't even mention Trump's name. And again, there's a clip here that contrasts how she actually talks versus how she talked. And again, some people say I'm being too hard on her. This is not personal. This is Super Bowl. It's either you make the field goal or you don't. And she missed. And I want the best for her. She's got to stay in the party. Very nice and sweet person. You got to cut that up, Ryan. It's so unbelievable. If she would have spoke how she actually speaks as a human being, I think it would have been a home run. And by the way, if she would have fired the people around her that wrote her speech, should have been completely different. You know, if Katie Britt just would have said, and by the way, when I talk to moms, they're wondering why so many kids have allergies and health issues, autism and diabetes. Woo. That would have at least piqued the curiosity of the demographic that you need to win. This is why RFK is doing very, very well with suburban moms. Play cut 11.
Autism has gone from 1 in 10,000 in my generation, 70-year-old men, to 1 in 34 kids in my kids' generation. 1 in every 22 boys. Food allergies suddenly appeared around 1989. You know, I had 11 brothers and sisters, about 70 first cousins, and none of them had a peanut allergy. Why do 5 of my 7 kids have food allergies? Something is poisoning them. Why did diabetes today? When I was a kid, a typical pediatrician would see one case of diabetes in his entire career. Juvenile diabetes. Today, 1 out of every 3 kids who walks through his door has either pre-diabetic or diabetic. Something's wrong.
Something's wrong. And again, no one thinks that RFK is going to become president. He's running for the presidency. And by the way, if you haven't listened to our conversation with RFK, I highly encourage you to do so. It went very viral for a while, and then it's just kind of flatlined. I think we should try to resurrect that because it's just as applicable today as it was back a couple months ago when we did that. So President Trump comes out and says, hey, our vaccine, my vaccine. He has to remind people he never forced people to take the vaccine. He was against the lockdowns. He was in favor of early treatments and states' rights. This is all stuff that Joe Biden can't run on. But RFK is reaching a polling threshold that might get him on the stage for the Presidential Commission for Debates. I was just watching CBS News. We went out to dinner last night, and they had CBS News on the TV because there's very little sports on, college basketball or whatever. It's a low sports time. It's about to heat up. So they had CBS on for whatever reason, and they had the volume on. They said, and the race is heating up in a rematch of Trump v. Biden. You got to stop that. That's not true. It's not Trump v. Biden. It's Trump v. Biden with third-party candidates, and the winner will get to 42-43%. So we need every single tilt voter that we can. And suburban moms who are not voting strictly on abortion, they will vote on kids' health. The only question remaining that I wish that we'd have somebody have a conversation on, and again, if you really wanted to be strategic, the State of the Union response should have been about turning RFK more against Joe Biden than against Trump. But the RNC people, they don't think at all. They don't do that. The RNC people were all around Katie Britt. The former communications director, former chief of staff for the RNC, is the one who wrote and advised Katie Britt's speech. The old RNC regime, even before Rana, super huge failing. And by the way, the RFK question keeps on teetering back and forth. The vaccine can tilt it one way or the other. And if RFK gets on the stage and it's Trump v. Biden v. RFK, RFK could lay a trap where Joe Biden would be the total pro-vax guy. And RFK could say, well, Mr. President, you're the one that did the vaccine. And how he handles that could be incredibly consequential whether or not he becomes president and wins Wisconsin and wins Arizona. In Arizona, there are tens of thousands of families and moms that don't follow the entire vaccine schedule, that definitely don't give their kids the COVID vaccine. There's hundreds of thousands with that. This could determine the entire civilization. Keep your eyes on the third-party candidates, RFK, and the vaccine question. So I actually, one of these, you know, a couple weeks ago, I was thinking up late at night. I said, boy, imagine all three on the debate stage. You have Trump, Biden, RFK. How should President Trump speak about the vaccine? I think he should speak about the vaccine in this regard. I think he should say, look, there was a time of crisis. And what I did to bring the vaccine companies together under usual circumstances would be considered to be a massive accomplishment. But more and more evidence is coming to light that Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, they were doing some funny business with some of these vaccines. The vaccine certainly did help some people. And I always respected individual autonomy, states' rights, and I never forced the vaccine, and I never will force the vaccine. For some older Americans, I believe that the vaccine helped them. For some younger people, it is a crime that they were forced to get it against their will. And as president, I will authorize a full investigation into Pfizer, AstraZeneca, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, so that we'll find out if they told me the truth during Operation Warp Speed so that people can get clarity and eventually justice. Boom. End of answer. That way, it's not apologizing. It's not about, you know, backing away. That is a perfectly balanced approach. I want to play some more tape here of Robert F. Kennedy. And I'm not saying this as a commercial for him, but this sort of approach can win you 10,000 votes here, 20,000 votes here, 30,000 votes here. Play cut 12, please.
So, and nobody's saying, why is this happening? And we know why it's happening. It's high fructose corn syrup, and it's, you know, glyphosate and neonicotinoids and atrazine and all the other crap that is in our food. We're not feeding people, we're poisoning them.
We're not feeding people, we're poisoning them. Now, that might seem like a fringe issue, but if you go back to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast page, and we have this amazing community, by the way, that's growing, members.charliekirk.com. It's growing like crazy. It's amazing. And one of the first questions we got is, Charlie, when is Trump going to talk about food? I'm telling you, it's a top level issue for moms, especially for people of all different ages. Obesity, type 1 diabetes, what we are feeding our kids, not to mention the suicide epidemic. We cannot keep our eye off this. This is another one. Cut 4. The average person who died from COVID had 3.8 chronic diseases. That's what killed them. This is the clarity that I think is necessary. COVID, health, lockdowns, it's going to become a top-tier issue. And let's kind of go back into the 1992 election. Ross Perot won 0 electoral votes. By the way, many of you are emailing me, freedom@charliekirk.com. I was one of the Perot voters. It makes perfect sense. If you're a Trump supporter now and you were a pro-voter then, perfect. I totally see the connection. Perot was the canary in the coal mine. Perot was the Mr. Smith goes to Washington independent businessman. One of my great regrets is that Perot and Trump never were able to before he died, come together and see themselves as successors of the same movement. And it was a race to 43%. Again, very few people are talking about this. If you talk to the average low IQ consultant that used to infest the RNC, thankfully we have a new regime there. What do you mean a race to 43%? It's a two-person race. It's not a two-person race. Fringe issues very well might end up defining this election. Now, I don't even like the word fringe. I should correct my language. That's not, let's just say second or third or fourth tier issues. For example, coming up next month, we have Dr. Miriam Grossman coming to a Freedom Night at Dream City Church. The trans issue and how kids are being transed at record levels, that's a major issue. Trump is great on that issue, by the way. By the way, Trump is also great on vaccine autonomy and agency. I'm not even attacking. I'm saying that if you're going to put up a Truth Social post that can be viewed as you taking credit for the vaccine, there is a potential political cost to that. And that cost is that you have this RFK guy lurking who currently is damaging Joe Biden. RFK is taking from Joe Biden right now. Do not give him an attack vector to take from the MAGA movement. Third-party candidates can change an election. Remember, when Donald Trump became president in 2016, it was Trump v. Hillary Clinton v. Jill Stein and 5 other candidates. In 2020, it was just Trump v. Biden, and all the other candidates were kicked off the ballot. It is going to be a race to 43-44%. Do not give the opposition, do not give RFK any reason to trim at our base, to give people a little uncertainty. Why aggravate the growing community of multiracial, multi-demographic, working people that are going to propel Trump to victory in November? I would stay away from the vaccine issue. Just say it's people's choice and so be it. What if I told you that most of the notable diaper brands support abortion, even footing the bill for their employees to travel to have an abortion? It's one thing to reject your customers. It's another thing to support their termination. If you're a parent sickened by woke corporations supporting the destruction of American values and our most precious blessing, our children, then meet Every Life, America's pro-life diaper brand. Finally, a baby brand that aligns with your values and is unapologetically pro-life. Every Life believes that no matter where someone is from, what they look like, planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle worth protecting and defending. Every Life offers high-performing premium diapers and wipes created with your little ones in mind. Their diapers are made without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. It's a wonderful company. I can speak for it personally. It's amazing. Go to everylife.com for diapers and wipe bundles delivered right to your doorstep and feel good knowing every purchase changes lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is changing diapers, changing lives. Learn more today at everylife.com. That is everylife.com. Use promo code Charlie for 10% off your order today. Welcome to the program, Rabbi Michael Barclay, for some cultural commentary that I think is very, very important. Rabbi, welcome to the program. Rabbi, I'm told that the Oscars were last night. Is that true?
Thank you for letting me be here. And yes, there was an Academy Awards show last night.
So what are the major takeaways? You have a piece here for PJ Media. The Academy Awards are, again, on the wrong side of history and boring.
Look, there were three types of people there last night. There was the Jew hater, the anti-Semite. There were the self-hating Jews. And there were the cowards who just didn't have the courage to stand up and say this is wrong. It was one pro-Gaza moment after another. Really, probably the most offensive. And this doesn't even include Kimmel's monologue and his insults to Donald Trump. But probably the most offensive from a Middle Eastern perspective was when the document, the award winners for best documentary got up, and this man, Jonathan Glazer, said that he and his partners are refuting their Jewishness to side with you know, this, stop this objectification, this dehumanization, et cetera. He's refuted his Judaism, obviously, a long time ago. And people went crazy, and they were all applauding. And it was just so irritating, not just because of what they said, but the irony that half of them couldn't get to the Dolby Theater because they were blocked by Palestinian demonstrators. And the irony that pretty much all of them, if they were in Gaza, if they were in any area controlled by Hamas, they'd all be killed by Sharia law for their clothing, their sexuality, their how they treat women, how they are women, their religion, their gender. And they're just all cheering madly for a ceasefire. And it was just astounding.
So help me understand, they don't care about the suffering of any other part of the world. They don't care about, I mean, Hollywood. They're fixated on Israel. And again, I'm not one to throw around labels, but at the core of Hollywood's fixation, I believe, is Jew hatred. I think that is correct, which is strange because, and Rabbi, play along with me here, the stereotype is that Jews control Hollywood. So help me understand that. Again, just the stereotype. I'm not saying it's true, but
sure.
Play around with that, please.
So look, let's if we can take a moment to talk about history, there is a reality, and there's a great book called An Empire of Their Own, that in the 1920s, the entertainment industry was started by Jews, most of whom were the sons of rabbis who couldn't get a job anywhere else. So they ended up in entertainment, starting this industry. That then, by the time you're in the 1950s, 1960s, that's no longer true. And certainly by the time you're in the 80s and 90s, it's definitely not true. And in fact, if anyone controlled the entertainment industry, it was a group of people that were called by other people in Hollywood the gay mafia. It was the predecessor to the whole grooming that now controls it. Jews do not control Hollywood. That's just a fallacy for 60 or 70 years. But here's what's happened is that the secularized Jew has converted to leftist politics. They have walked away from their religion and their religion now is leftist politics. And Hollywood encourages that. It kind of feeds on itself. It self-aggrandizes. Look at the whole Oscars. They are an award show saying, look at me, I did my job, for which they get paid exorbitant fees. The idea of doing protests at the Oscars has a history, and it's a sordid history, as I point out in that article, which I think it's 1975. Bert Schneider reads a letter from the head of the Viet Cong, to which he's booed. In 1978, Vanessa Redgrave talks about supporting the Palestinians. She's booed. In 2003, Michael Moore talks about the fictitious president at the Oscars. He's booed with a few cheers. But by the time we get post-Obama, you start getting DiCaprio talking about climate change after he's been flown to the Oscars in his private jet, and he's cheered. You start getting people cheering for BLM. 2022 was all about, you know, BLM, the idea, or 2021, excuse me, 2022 was all about Ukraine. And this is all about their cause celeb. They have repeatedly been wrong on history, and it's really sad. But Hollywood has, I think it might be good to remember that these are people who make their living making believe. These are not intellectual giants for people who even think necessarily, most of them very consciously.
I want to play cut 16 here and get your reaction before we close out the segment. Play cut 16, please.
Our film shows where dehumanization leads at its worst. It shaped all of our past and present. Right now, we stand here as men who refute their Jewishness and the Holocaust being hijacked by an occupation which has led to conflict for so many innocent people. Whether the victims of October the 7th in Israel or the ongoing attack on Gaza, all are victims of this dehumanization. How do we resist? Alexandra Bistron Kaladziejczyk, the girl who glows in the film as she did in life, chose to. I dedicate this to her memory and her resistance. Thank you.
So what's going on here? Explain this for our audience, Rabbi.
This guy is oblivious and an idiot. And it's just that simple. If he was in Gaza, if he was in the West Bank, they would behead him for who he is, as would they would behead most of the people who were attending that show for their clothing, for everything else. Hamas wants Sharia law. Hamas, in the covenant of 1988, has specifically said that they want the obliteration of every Jew on the planet. They're very clear about it. Article 7 in their covenant says that the day of judgment will only come when every Jew is obliterated and the trees, they hide behind the trees and rocks, and the trees call out, "Oh, Abdullah, oh Muslim, come and kill the Jew hiding behind me." And these people are cheering on Hamas after they what Hamas did on October 7th. It is despicable. And not just what Hamas has done, but what these people are doing. And there's a great line for people like Glazer, who are ashamed of being a Jew. Trust me, we're ashamed of you being a Jew too. It's painful.
Rabbi, in closing here, can you just give about a minute summary of the latest on the ground of what's happening with Israel and Rafah? There's a lot of misinformation out there. I would love to get it from your perspective, an update. And Joe Biden says there's a red line and all sorts of nonsense. Your take, Rabbi.
Real briefly, what I think is the most important point right now as we've entered Ramadan. Everyone, especially Joe Biden and Tony Blinken, all these guys are saying, oh, it's Ramadan, you can't have attacks. Forgetting about the fact that they attacked on Yom Kippur, they attacked on Simchas Torah, and these different holidays. If you look up, and there's a video on Twitter that I did about this, on the actual history of Ramadan. Ramadan is a history of a month of war. But the Prophet Muhammad started two different wars during Ramadan. It has a history. This is one of the months that you always fight in. There are 4 months in the Quran that are prohibited from having war. This is not one of them. So this whole idea of saying, oh, it's a holiday of love and peace, like Claudia Webb did in England, is just a blatant, fallacious lie. And it is a holiday of war. They gear up for war in Ramadan. And there's no reason not to go into Rafah. None at all. No religious, no theological reason, and every political reason. So we can clean out Gaza from Hamas and rebuild what hopefully can become a place of peace.
Rabbi, thank you for the time, and God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you for everything you and all of Charlie's, all your whole team do. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to play Cut 27 here, guys, and also email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Let's play Cut 27, please.
I'm really proud of something. I was wondering if I could share it with you. I just got a review, and... has there ever been a worse host than Jimmy Kimmel at the Oscars? His opening was that of a less than average person trying too hard to be something which he is not and never can be. Get rid of Kimmel and perhaps replace him with another washed up but cheap ABC talent, George Slopanopoulos. He would make everybody on stage look bigger, stronger, and more glamorous. Blah, blah, blah. Make America great again. Okay, now, see if you can guess which former president just posted that on Truth Social.
Well, first of all, Truth Social probably got more eyeballs on a mainstream ABC network. That was brilliant. And we had the phrase, make America great again on ABC. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.